Bro, I just made the easiest money of my life.
Easy money? Tell me more, fam.
I just bet 1 million Satoshis that Shinobi will call Baby Jesus retarded by Christmas.
Shinobi will call Baby Jesus retarded by Christmas? That's like taking custodial Lightning Wallet sats from a pleb. Where can I take this bet?
You can bet on Predix. Just go to beta.predix.com. That's Predix spelled P-R-E-D-Y-X. Predix is non-KYC, and you can get started betting within seconds.
I bet David Bailey will promote pump and dump ordinal scams.
Hey, Terrence, you can bet on that too.
Okay, but is this gambling?
It's only gambling if you don't listen to 40 hours of Bitcoin podcasts per week.
David Bailey and Shinobi are finally going down.
Are you sick of smelling like pleb slop from dealing with retarded plebs online all day? Are you sick of using harsh body soaps that leave you feeling dry, itchy, and smelling like industrial chemicals? Well, now you don't have to. Introducing Soap Miner. Soap Miner is handmade tallow soap like your great-grandmother used to make. It's gentle, natural, moisturizing, and free from anything toxic. These are humble soaps. Soap Miner believes soap shouldn't be toxic because Bitcoin maximalists are toxic enough already. And Soap Miner is the only soap that washes off the pleb slop. You can buy Soap Miner tallow soaps with Bitcoin at soapminer.com.
From what's, we just have reflections from the frontier, but we're back today, back to the normal schedule. And I don't know, it's if you've been following New York City, communists just took over New York City. Trump he's offering $2,000 stimulus checks, and we didn't think we were going to be getting stimulus checks this time last year. So I think it's important to see where are we going forward. We thought we were going to have this bull market, the biggest one ever. We thought we were going to have hyper Bitcoinization. Instead, we got 50-year mortgages and pleb slop. The announcement of 50-year mortgages is like the admission and like a commitment of the establishment to provide exit liquidity for baby boomers so they can continue to gamble their social security checks away to slot machines. And I can't say any of us are surprised by this move, but the gall of them in the fourth turning to prioritize after COVID, after shutting the whole thing down to protect boomers during COVID. We thought we weren't going to have to deal with this again. And now the 50-year mortgage, they're doubling down on giving the boomers exit liquidity. And it's you and I who are the exit liquidity. It's the generations, the younger generations, the people who will have to be the pioneers who will take over when all this dust settles. But I mean, 50-year mortgages and pleb slop, is that a future to you, Richard?
Well, I think we have a really cool opportunity right now to break the cycle of bullshit. And, just because other people are pleb slopping doesn't mean that we have to be victims of it. And that's part of the attitude of the pioneers, is not having this victim mentality. Like, people like to make fun of libtards about being victims or whatever, you know, whining and bitching, but you know, then they go on and do the same thing. So I think I see it as a great future, because we have an opportunity to break the cycle, to be different, to no longer support the pleb slop Cantillon effect, to bring some real signal to the world, to use our brains. So I absolutely see an incredibly bright future ahead, despite of these developments. So I'm feeling good. Well, I'm feeling good today. I'm feeling optimistic. I'm feeling hopeful in this forturning, in this shit show that is going on. And, you know, one of the reasons the shit show is so great is we have so many interesting things to podcast about. you know, and as a podcaster, you want interesting things to podcast about. You know, this is, you know, one of the benefits of having retards in society is you get to provide social commentary for the people that aren't retarded. It's an awesome opportunity. Our jobs are safe as AI has taken over everything. The problem with AI is it's got way too many safety guards to do any sort of effective. AI was built to spew plebslop, to get people to have plebslop brains, and our jobs are secure, Rod. So I'm feeling good here.
Well, you talk about breaking the cycle, and in a lot of ways, we like to distance ourselves from the boomers. We like to distance ourselves from their values, distance ourselves from their judgment, distance ourselves from the, you know, just they're the Woodstock generation, the filthy hippies who just ran around with ponytails and dirty, just smelly, just taking drugs, avoiding. They didn't pay their taxes. They didn't go fight in the benefit of classes, wars overseas against communism. But they want to tell us that that's our duty. They want to chastise us for our lack of commitment to, you know, to the country, whatever. But in a lot of ways, we are the products of this generation that raised us, right? I mean, we mock them for gambling their Social Security checks at the slot machines in Vegas, but young people are also gambling with their future. They are addicted to sports betting apps. They're addicted to, trying to get pump and dump meme coins on pump.fun, trying to 10X and just vault themselves into, you know, comfort and retirement with broccoli haircuts. They are Polymarker, and Polymarker is becoming one of the biggest, you know, it's going to, they're talking about putting stocks, bonds, crypto, Bitcoin, and prediction markets all in the same app and doing it all on blockchains, right? And it's taken over. So, like, we are gambling with our future. But if you're not betting on Bitcoin, do you think there's even a future at all, right? Like, that's what you, if you're going to bet that on Bitcoin, and how do we keep people focused on that?
Yeah. It's interesting because, like, the boomers, so I think looking at the boomers for some important context for grumpy millennials, grumpy Gen Zers, grumpy Gen Xers, the people that are looking at the boomers, they say, oh, you're such a worthless generation that fed your children to Moloch and, you know, whatever. As we grow older, guess what, folks? Our generations are likely going to be very similar to the boomers in the sense of there are, you know, handful of cigarette smokers and cognizant, aware individuals. Much of the rest of the generation are going to look up to Mike Brock like he's a sophisticated philosopher. Like, that's just the reality you're living in. And, you know, when you're old enough to get your Social Security checks, which won't happen because it won't be there. But when you hit that age, your generation is going to be ridiculed by the younger generations in the same exact way. Now, the boomers lacked a lot of creativity when it came to gambling markets. They play the slot machines. One of the things that you have the lowest odds of winning, you just sit there and pull over. The boomers, they like bingo. Bingo's their idea of gambling, slot machines and bingo, folks.
Well, Vegas is boomer slop, right? Like, it is just mindless. It gets the endorphins going, it gets them excited. The lights blink and it makes noises, and they can sit there and smoke cigarettes and look at the flashing lights, the pretty lights, and it just feels good. They don't have to think. They don't have to think for themselves. They don't have to have any accountability. They just get to enjoy, you know, the moment. It's just pure sloppy fun. But they are, boomers do love staring at their phones and playing games on their phones. Some of them are migrating to digital gaming as well.
That's true. Yeah. Candy Crush. Boomers love Candy Crush. They're spending their social security checks on Candy Crush or whatever the game is. But yeah, I mean, the boomers operated in this very limited sandbox. They had like four TV shows. They didn't really have the same variety that is available today.
No entropy.
No, they lacked entropy, which is why there was a lack of creativity when it came to gambling markets. Today, there's kind of a renaissance of creativity. You got Polymarket, you got Predix, you have... I did a few bets on Kalshi. Predix. They got
Kalshi. The New York Stock Exchange, NASDAQ, Metaplanet, you know, commodities markets, gold, silver. I mean, there's so many different ways you can gamble.
Racist Solana meme coins.
Treasury now. Bitcoin mining. Yeah.
BitAxis.
There's so many ways. The lottery.
Would you put the BitAx in the same category as a racist Solana meme coin as far as gambling?
I can see the argument, right? Like a BitAx is, I mean, it's mostly kind of like middle-aged, white, bald, chubby men who have BitAxes. Like you don't see a lot of BitAxes. You don't see a lot of Latinos with BitAxes. Chinese people, Indians, there's not a lot of Jeep BitAx owners. It's kind of racist. Not maliciously, just, you know, it's like an institutional racism.
Yeah. Well, you know, the BitAx is they argue that it's like a educational project. People, you know, these middle-aged white men can learn about mining Bitcoin, and so therefore it's a productive activity. But you could argue in the same way that when you purchase a Solana meme coin, that is also an educational activity because you're learning about the centralized nature of Solana, about bad UX and complicated exchanges, about, you know, how quickly you can lose your money or how to rug pull a bunch of plebs. Like it's an educational process too. So I would argue they're very similar. It's just that kind of different demographics choose which way they want to gamble.
That's true. Yeah, that's a good point. And not everybody likes to gamble, but what do you do? What do you do if you like? How do you afford your taxes? And how do you afford to retire if you're not a gambler? Some people consider Bitcoin a gamble. How do you convince them that it's not?
Well, I mean, I would argue it's a gamble for sure. I mean, I guess every decision you make in life and in some degrees is a gamble. You get married.
It's speculative for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when you get married to somebody, you're speculating that there's going to be some sort of ROI. When you take a job, there's a gamble there. Gambling on future income opportunity, that it fits well with, you know, the things that you want to be doing. I guess everything's a gamble. There's just some good gambles and bad gambles.
That's a good point. And if you're going to bet, you should bet on yourself and bet on Bitcoin. Those two, at least, you can spray out from there. You can go to paper Bitcoin. You can go to eCash. You can go to Tesla stocks. You can go to MSTR. You can do gold. But it's the further you get away from your node, the less likely you are to be able to kind of parse real from fiction, pleb slop from signal. But at least in your node, your node's kind of like your center. You want to stay with what you know and how you can determine what's real.
As far as determining what's real, I don't think Twitter's a great place to do it. So I, it is kind of funny. I have a back-to-back tweets, one from an account called Jews Fight Back, making fun of Tucker Carlson for being dumb. Folks, Tucker Carlson's being dumb. And if you have, or is dumb, if you haven't figured this out yet, you got some more podcasts listening to do, some more thinking, some more cigarettes to smoke, but Tucker Carlson's retarded. The next meme is a Hitler meme. So I got Jews, I got the Twitter algo is feeding me Zionist propaganda and Nazi propaganda back to back. It's pretty interesting.
It's doing this to a lot of people, and it's a little different. It's not always the same flavor you are. It's like sometimes people are getting like the crusade memes, where it's like, you know, there's some movie where the guy has a metal face and he's wearing like a big, you know, clean crusade robe or whatever, and it's everybody's like holding spears and they're going to church as excitedly as possible. They're going to conquer the Middle East, and people get a lot of those memes versus, like, you know, multiculturalism memes, or they get Barbie and Ken, and it's like, you know, being cool and racist, and it makes it look fun, and or they get make fun. It's making people choose. It's making people bet. It's making people like think about poly markets. Like, am I going to bet on the Zionists or the Nazis? Am I going to bet on the Nazis or the communists, the communists or the fascists, the Jews or the, you know, Christians, whatever it is? It's like making people bet on this, make people choose. And so I think that's interesting as well, because it's not just you. Everybody's getting their own flavor of this, like, two extreme sides of the spectrum.
Yeah, I mean, the Zionist versus Nazi propaganda replaced the two genders versus multi-genders, the pronoun people. There's always some divide and conquer campaign that needs to get people divided on something.
Right now, yeah, exactly. Right now, the algorithm is making you realize it's reinforcing the fact that the truth is binary. It's not non-binary. Just in time for quantum computers.
Yeah, I think the realization I hope that people come to is you need both the Nazis and the Zionists, like, but you just need to figure out a way for them not to tear each other apart and create all this collateral damage in the rest of society. Like, have them, you know, the Zionists can hang out in Israel and in the media, and the Nazis can hang out in their rural Idaho Christian nationalist churches, and, you know, you just got to get
that. Yeah. Well, that's what Tucker Carlson's doing. That's what Nick Fuentes is doing. That is what Hassan Piker is doing. That is what, you know, a lot of podcasters are doing. They are distracting them with pleb slop. That is kind of the goal, right? Like, if they distract them with pleb slop, they pacify them with shiny pleb slop, then they won't go out and try to genocide each other.
Yeah, it's interesting, because, like, there's this whole level of, they call it the independent media. One of the reasons why I never really use that term is because I just think it's been pleb slop to death. And most of the people call it, you know, okay, you don't take donors from donations from Pfizer or whatever. You call yourself independent media, but you're still getting paid by the CIA and interacting with them. Like, come on, folks. So I like to differentiate myself and the Bugle call us the non-CIA media. But yeah, they have like a lesser degree of pleb slop, where it's just not as apparent as like kind of the corporate, you know, TV news, like CNN or Fox or, you know, whatever it is. But it's still
edgier.
Like, yeah, it's edgier pleb slop. Like, Candace Owens, pleb slop. Nick Fuentes, he's entertaining pleb slop. I'll say Nick Fuentes is, you know, one of the most entertaining pleb sloppers out there right now. That's why these numbers like this, so much.
Yeah, this pleb slop that you kind of turn the volume up because you want other people to know that you're listening to it. And this pleb slop that you turn the volume down when you're walking through the gym with your headphones. You don't want people to hear the pleb slop you're listening to. And the CIA's just got like the quieter pleb slop, the edgier, the, you know, and yeah, I mean, I could, maybe that might make sense to the 40 hour per weekers out there.
I want to say I'm really sad that Dick Cheney died.
I take.
Well, you know, we're just going through this. We're going to be going through this time. You know, these boomers are getting old. They're dying. We're going to watch. I guess he's a little bit older than a boomer, but boomer just refers to old people that don't know how to use their iPhones at this point. But we're watching all these politicians die without having received any accountability. And I think when they hit that death point where they die in their 80s, they die of old age, of natural causes, it's kind of like they won. They won.
You know, it's got to be like the Hague. They probably think about like Dick Cheney, the way that, like, you know, imagine like a star sports ball player coming out of college, gets drafted number one, that he like tears his ACL or like blows his Achilles tendon. He's never able to perform. People are like, man, imagine if he would have been good. He could have won the Super Bowl, the sports ball championship. Like the Hague is probably like, damn, imagine if we would have got our fingers, we could have got a hold of Cheney. That would have been an epic fucking trial. We would have had Wikipedia pages.
Yeah. I'd say it's a sad day for America that man, it's a sad day for the world, you know, having a man like that die without having received any accountability with the blood on his hands. It's really the power of the pleb slop industrial complex, you know, to be able to maintain a reputation like that guy, draft dodging Dick, you know, guy that dodged the draft by pretending to go to college and then proceeded to send tons of people off to go die, you know, for stupid reasons, kill people for no reason. Yeah, I would say it's a sad day. It's a very sad day for America, for the world, that he died in the way that he did. And I'm not really sure, you know, what the best, I think it's kind of silly to celebrate people's deaths, like, you know, some people are like dancing on his grave, and I'm sure he's kind of cackling about that from wherever he is in the afterlife. It is like, hi stupid libtards, I won, I beat you. But
well, yeah, but he died a libtard. I mean, he formally endorsed, you know, Harris in the election a year ago. So the very people who were his sworn enemies at the time, he became one of them. Like maybe that's comeuppance, that's punishment. You know, I don't know if in hindsight, right, would it be better that he faced, you know, a trial or something, like the, Is it justice to have some the federal or European judge determine your fate and say that you were a war criminal? Like, if they did it to somebody who you didn't disdain, who you didn't think deserved it, people would say, like, that's not a legitimate court anyway. Like, so who cares? That's not justice, wherever their decision is. But to be forever your legacy that you ultimately had to seek refuge and your family did, and that you became the very thing you swore to defeat your whole life. If that's your legacy, that's quite better than the justice of the European central courts.
Yeah, I think the politicians like Dick Cheney, the best way to do it is just fly him over to Afghanistan, hand him over to the Taliban, and just leave him there.
They could TikTok with him. Taliban doing TikToks, riding fucking mime scooters down the Hindu coast with Cheney.
They'll be like,
you know, one of our Humvees.
They'll Gaddafi him. But the it's funny to refer to Donald Trump as a conservative at this point. And I think this is kind of the silliness of the American political discourse of people just, you know, the plebs that are sucked into the kayfabe, they're so aligned with the team and they have no sense of values or intellectual honesty or consistency of like, okay, let's talk about the conservative nature of Donald Trump. He is buying stakes in U.S. companies. He is issuing stimulus checks. He is fucking with all these controls on the economy. I'm pretty sure he's implementing some price controls. What's conservative?
Fannie and Freddie announced on Friday that they were looking to take stakes in tech companies. So they already destroyed the mortgage. You know, we already talked about the 50-year mortgages that are coming down the line. Thanks, not completely, but in large part to the actions of Fannie and Freddie. They're now going to be buying stakes in ChatGPT. Google, you know, something to think about. The Trump administration has already bought stake in IBM. What was the other one? There was another one.
Intel.
They're going to do Intel. And I think one or two others. They're starting a strategic uranium reserve for nuclear power, which is probably an AI play. They're buying Tezos from Argentina.
I think if any company, the U.S. government should take stock in, it would be Buc-ee's. I think Buc-ee's is a good American company.
Nakamoto.
I don't know about Nakamoto.
It's interesting that you framed it the way you did. I think I've heard, you know, for a long time, people have made this, you know, argument that there's nothing conservative about his politics. I mean, the tariffs, the trade, his position on like the World Trade Organization and those big trans, the international trade deals, you know, I'm talking NAFTA, the other one. Well, those are conservative tariffs you already mentioned, but it's populist. It's populist and it's pleb slop populism. And that is what this is like the same with Mondani in New York City. It's people are arguing in semantic arguments about communist, socialist, just leftist, whatever. But this is populism at the end of the day. This is the left flavor of populism versus the conservative, but nationalist.
Yeah, I just hope to see people putting less energy into the kayfabe at the conferences next year. Realizing, you know, there's been this huge emphasis on Bitcoin and politics, and there'll probably be a continued emphasis on that in the PodConf industrial complex. But every time they try and do this, they just get fucked. They burn their money. Goes nowhere productive, wastes a lot of people's time listening to people talk about things that are super inconsequential. Like, who cares about RFK Jr.'s thoughts on Bitcoin?
He's got brain worms.
The guy's a limited hangout health government guy going and presenting these policies that, you know, really don't matter.
Exposing Tylenol.
Saying that Tylenol. I mean, I would be more excited if he went up on stage with Trump and started talking about how Bitcoin podcasts give you autism instead of Tylenol. It'd be more accurate.
You know, credit where credit's due. One guy who hasn't taken their advice. He set the standard, really, is Justin Batchelor. He's never, ever been fooled by the kayfabe of the politics intertwined. The Margies, I mean, he's Cynthia Lummis's enemy number one.
Has he defined what money is yet? Has he been able to do that? Have you seen that?
No, he is not. He has been posting us this, the GQ interview meme with Sydney Sweeney and that millennial making that Chungus face. He's posted about 740 of those since Friday afternoon. That still hasn't A, defined money or B, made a funny meme, but he's still posting.
I hope he's doing well.
You too.
I just can't help but root for these guys. It's like, it's kind of embarrassing.
I've been in the group chat, the four group chat all weekend. And I've been posting a lot in there. I've been interacting with the guys, sharing my opinions. It's been pretty productive. I think a lot of guys have unblocked. Giacomo Zuko unblocked me today on Twitter. And I invited him on the podcast, pulling the beloved runner-up of the inaugural Maxi Madness Tournament Championship 2024. It was always welcome on the Pugle. Him and Yellow jumped in on it. So it's been a productive. Never fade group chats, man. I'm building bridges back up with the Mods guys.
I would love to interview Giacomo. I think that'd be a good one. You know, I've tried to build bridges. I don't know what the disconnect is for me, because they seem like they're so much more receptive to you than they are to me. I joined the group and I got booted instantaneously. And I have not been able to figure out, because I feel like you have been pulling the knobs of the Nazis a little bit harder than I have over the last little bit.
Well, I think they were all expecting me to twist their knobs in the group chat, but I've actually been, like, I started by extending an olive branch, inviting them to come chat with us on the show. Promised to give them a fair conversation, and Adam back immediately responded and recommended we, you know, Luke to come chat with us. I don't think Luke reacted to it, but I'm sure he saw it and he hope he's thinking about it.
Be interesting to do a conversation with Luke. I imagine it'd probably be pretty painful.
You know, I don't know. I think after all this sloppy conflict, I've grown to appreciate it is not so much what he's done, but just the precision and the deliberate thought into how he does it. And I think I've started to understand that more.
Yeah, I just think he's a tough guy to interview. Like that viral meme of that Asian lady asking him what he thinks, what he likes about Bitcoin and what it finds interesting. And he responds like as if that's some sort of crazy question with a non-answer. It's like you get a lot of those. It's a tough interview. Like typically when you see Luke on interviews, he typically has one of his less autistic handlers with him, like mechanic or something. So Luke goes and says something retarded. And then it's just hard because like devs are not podcasters for the most part. It's just out of their wheelhouse of like, they're not meant to have actual conversations with human beings. You know, computer code is essentially it's a translation between humans and zeros and ones in computer language. And like devs are like computer code, where it's like a whole different language that you have to learn how to understand. And they have a whole profession for dealing with these people and being their translators to humans. And they're called project managers. They're autist wranglers. And, you know, there's as podcasting continues to become more prolific, like there needs to be this class of translators, like mechanic. Like mechanic is, you know, for those that are losing their jobs, if you can learn how to speak and understand extreme autism, like this is kind of what Shinobi's job is at Bitcoin Magazine, is he's an autism translator. Like he's trying to communicate. He's translating dev slop into pleb slop.
Exactly. I was this is something I wanted to talk about earlier in the show, and it made me think of it. It's like, we need to scale this translation. All right, like AI is able to translate Mandarin Chinese to English. It's able to translate, you name it, to wherever you name it, Japanese to Spanish, etc. But, and that's important, but you need to be able to, once you have the formal translation, somebody still needs to translate it to Plebslop. Otherwise, it's the real message kind of gets lost in translation. It gets lost in the bytes and conversions. The entropy is, it's hard to decompress it on the other side without losing. Being able to translate it to Plebslop is controlling for the entropy in communication.
Absolutely.
But you just need somebody who has more patience than Shinobi. Shinobi's trying to do it all. He's trying to be every Cordes translator. Mechanical only has to translate for one person. Shinobi has to translate for a diverse group of men and women and in-betweens from all over the world. And it's got to be stressful. He's very high strung.
Yeah. You know, being a translator is one of the most powerful jobs in the world. And you've seen this historically, like, you know, you would have
the King James is translator, right?
Well, these kings would meet with each other. They knew nothing about their culture. They didn't have the internet. And so these translators would be the bridge and the conversation between kings. And they could mistranslate something or skew the translation in a way. And had, in many ways, they were speaking for the kings because there was nobody really to check them in some circumstances. And we're seeing the same thing today where these DevSlop translators, like Mechanic, so what the battle's happening right now, Shinobi's got one interpretation of a translation of the devs. Mechanic has a completely different translation of the devs. And the plebs are, so they have a choice of which translation they choose. And they are not, many of them don't care whether it's accurate or not. They just look at it and say, this one aligns more with my feelings and opinions on things. But we're seeing the incredible power that these DevSlop translators have on the world in the broader ecosystem. It's pretty fun. It's pretty astounding.
And it takes their toll. It takes its toll. I mean, look at Mechanic, look at Shinobi lately. They look tired. They look browbeaten because when people are taking all of their complaints, all their frustrations, and they're projecting it onto Shinobi and Mechanic, they are, if they're mad at Gloria, they're yelling at Shinobi because Gloria is not out there communicating with people. So Shinobi's taking all the heat for all these guys, and Mechanic's taking all the heat for Luke. And it's gotta be tough.
Yeah, they're both facing attacks from large bot farms around the world, pseudo spoofing in the comments.
Yeah, think of the meme of the soldier, and he's like sticking his arms up, and there's just a bunch of missiles and bullets of Plebslop just hitting him in the back, and they're shielding. They're shielding the devs, Luke and the core devs, from all that, artillery fire.
Yeah.
They're like 8-10 warthogs. They just come home and just absolutely riddled with bullets. And they gotta take time to recharge and repair and just go back out. And the plebs are just on the ground with the anti batteries and just pop, 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 and just blasting them with Plebslop.
Yeah. So the government shut down. People are getting grumpy about their flights getting canceled. I wonder if TSA is grumpier because they're not getting paychecks or whatever.
Well, luckily they've been orange pilled last year at the conference. And, they block Bitcoin, so like they're able to weather the shutdown.
I've been enjoying the shutdown. I hope it stays shut down forever. It's interesting how active the government has been, even though it's shut down. It's been very active.
There are people who are working with FAA at the air traffic controllers, somebody's got to be out there cleaning up the trails in Yosemite Park.
I think the rest of the year is going to be pretty interesting. I'm excited to watch it, how it goes. I did some bets on the price of Bitcoin going up on Predix this week. So I double bet on Bitcoin going up by owning Bitcoin and by betting that it will go up on Predix.
Tonight they're adding, so if you saw the news about the $2,000 stimulus checks that Trump just tweeted or Truth Social about from the trying to get people to support the tariffs, I bet that is not going to happen by the end of next year. I asked Predix to put up a market. So if you think that we're actually going to get the tariff dividend checks, or if you don't, you can go bet on that in Predix. So I don't think we're getting them. There's a bunch of other cool ones on there. Whether you need to think the slop fork, Dathan Ohm just posted the newest pull request for BIP 444. It's called the restrict transaction. Well, hold on. It's the RTSD fork is what it's called. What does that stand for?
I want to see if I might have to create a market for will Mathcratter make it through a month without doing a video on child porn.
I'll take the no, Alex. Trebek.
What?
I said I'll take the no, Mr. Trebek.
Who's Trebek?
Alex Trebek, Jeopardy.
Oh. Boomer Slot TV show.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
All right. On to the found booze. So we had a split episode last week, part one and part two. Read both. KT added a profile picture on Oster. We're getting hints that she's hot, but no direct confirmation yet. Well, you're hot in our books if you're boosting our podcast, Kate. She says, for 2300 sats, says, I passed the jab test, but failed miserably on the PSYOP that this time would be different. The second he launched his shitcoin, I knew I'd been duped. The only consolation is that the memes are better, and I thoroughly enjoy the irony of being called a fascist for not supporting government intervention. I feel like not getting vaccinated was like the younger generation's Woodstock moment.
Or their Vietnam.
Like the equivalent of dodging the draft to Vietnam, fleeing to Canada to avoid getting jailed.
Well, you couldn't flee to Canada for this one. He had to go to Mexico.
I'm pretty sure Mexico was pretty aggressive with their stuff.
Right? No, I knew it. Well, maybe you're right, but I knew a bunch of people who moved there because they didn't. There was like a refuge for it. Maybe only the cartels had to. Maybe the cartels had to get the vaccine.
You know, I bet you the reason why Donald Trump launched his meme coin was just to spite Predator.
It was, a show of, defiance for sure. Like, we won't be intimidated by Predator. He may have had Gary Gensler's ear, but he doesn't have ours. KT also, another boost, 1,230 cents. Also, I'm extremely disappointed that our SBR is being built with nefariously confiscated coins. Only in the funding from the White House ballroom comes from Big Tech, Ripple, Coinbase, and Tether, but nothing shady or concerning to see here, folks. Go back to your regularly scheduled club slot.
Well, the funny thing about the SBR, regardless of whether it was funded, it was going to be through stolen, confiscated funds at some point or some form, like.
Right, of course, whether it was debasement or, just straight up stealing it from people.
Yeah, I think what people generally wanted was for the state to go in, steal dollars from people, and then market buy it. And so, one of the problems with taking it from hackers is it doesn't have any buy pressure on the market. So I think that's where they're grumpy.
Yeah, it's like the ETFs. Now that they allowed in-kind redemptions where you can just straight up trade the in it, they wanted in-kind government theft. They did not want in-kind government theft. They wanted them to print the tethers first, debase the dollar, and then buy it, pump their bags, not just take it directly from the citizens, because that's too, it's just, you know, it's achy. It doesn't feel right. Doing it, pumping, you know, printing money to buy it, it doesn't make anybody feel that.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. It's just a strange model in general. The people that lose their funds to these people, what happens to them? I guess they don't get it back. It goes in the SBR. What do you call that? Civil asset forfeiture?
Yeah, that's what they call it most of the time. Or they just say it's like, you know, been inactive, or there was, yeah, civil officers making say you committed a crime, so they're taking it.
Yeah, I guess the crime for the people that lost the coins was that they lost the coins. If you lose your coins, folks, they get stolen or hacked from you, it ends up in the SBR. Congratulations, I guess. Next boost, 721 sats from Rev Hoddle says, it's time the pioneers organized a rally. Rally on the frontier. Rally in the underground. Rally around Bitcoin sovereignty and freedom. Show the plebs and PodConf that the pioneers are alive and well. Show them that the movement is at the doorstep. Pleb slot be damned. Yeah, you know, it's interesting. The rally meme came from Lake Satoshi, you know, because there was some rallying. There were some pleb slop goofballs that showed up to the Capital Michigan Lansing and organized a rally. It was called Paint the Lawn Orange. So I guess they took paint and they painted the tips of grass orange to show the politicians that they liked Bitcoin. We were making fun of that. Carl was making fun of that. But what I think he's saying is, you know, we're in this game of perception, right? And you look around you, you just the way the algorithms curate information for you, the way, you know, just having interactions with people that are just repeating what the algorithms are curating for you, it's hard not to feel like you're alone in the world, like everybody else is retarded, you know, because the pioneers are out there, you know, in the wilderness going in separate directions. They're not really congregating in the same area. So it's one of the challenges is there's creative ways that you can put your signal out there to find like-minded people, but I don't know how productive a, you know, rally would be, and because you just get on people's radar and that's not always a good thing. Like, it's like John Galt and Atlas Shrugged did not put up billboards for cool people to come and hang out with them. He just kind of disappeared off the face of the planet and attracted people to his gulch. And I think that's a similar interesting model to take. You're not going to convince retards to not be retarded.
Yeah, this takes Satoshi's advice. If you don't get it, you don't understand. I don't have time to convince you. I'm not going to come do a protest on in paint your grass. Nobody wants their grass painted orange. Leave the people's grass alone. People put hard work into that. Next one's from Sasha. Sasha Hodder. Big fan of the show. 500 sats. Great show. Thanks.
You're welcome. Thank you. Next one from Bubba. 400 sats says, it's just the normal fucking distractions. If Haley were real, she could set it straight by smoking on the White House steps, but she ain't, so it goes on and on. I don't know what to make of that. What is he talking about?
I don't know.
You know,
it is. Go ahead.
If Kaylee Welch was a little bit older, she'd be a great candidate to be in the Trump administration, because he likes these older, attractive, blonde women.
Hell yeah. He'd be like, she'd be a good producer for for some of the social media content. You know, they got a pretty cool social media profile now. Like, they post a lot of cool memes, a lot of TikTok videos, a lot of broccoli haircut stuff. She'd be good for, like, management of that in 10 years. Next was 100 stats for BTC on board, 3 thumbs up, and a heart. Normally it's just 3 thumbs up. You get a heart this time. And then another one for 100 stats from BTC on board. We are in the best timeline.
Hell yeah, we are. All right, on to part 2. Fundamentals 10,101 stats says, way to stay focused on winning. Keep it rolling.
My screen didn't update here. I'm reading off of... still reading off your the part 1. There we go. Oh, yeah. Next one. Or thank you, Fundamentals. You the man. Me and Fundamentals had some good conversations. We're going to do me and Fundamentals one-on-one here pretty soon for the subscribers. So be looking forward to that. Next is from Katie. KT, 2300 stats. Gentlemen, pay no attention to anyone that complains about you continuing to raise awareness about PlebSlot. Everyone knows that nothing stops this train, but not enough people know that nothing stops the slot. And Rod, I owe you an apology from a few episodes back. Nickelback is the band that doesn't even qualify as slop. Not Creed, sorry. And momentarily confused the two and sent a boost in the midst. After this episode's legendary quote, still drinking that sweet, greasy pleb slop like it's artisanal bone broth. I will never doubt you again. Last, I always thought chemtrails made better sunsets, but I guess I'm rarely up early enough to prove that theory against sunrises. I think this is an important question for a Dear Bubba episode. Here, that's Dear Bubba. And if we don't get an episode, you gotta be that you weigh in. Do chemtrails make better sunsets or sunrises? What do you think? I haven't really looked up into the sky looking for this before.
I think, I don't know. I haven't studied chemtrails close enough to really have any sort of opinions on them. But I think they probably impact sunrises and sunsets equally, would be my guess. So probably, if they make either better, it probably makes both better.
Probably depend on your perspective, if you're a morning person or a night owl.
I think this kind of framing is like, does breast implants make tits better? It makes them bigger. I don't know if it makes them better. You know what I mean? I think natural's the way to go.
Yeah, we have to know the, sometimes it's important to know the base case, like better than what? What was that came before it?
Yeah, how sloppy were the tits before?
Were they symmetric? Were they big already? Floppy? Saggy? Removed?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, thank you for the boost. Skeet, Kate. Bubba, 2,112 sat says, I be the contrarian here on Corey and Swan. In present day, in present form, maybe. They've lost the plot. But in 2020, while I still lived on the road, Brady's podcast and Corey all over everywhere, Swan was my pathway in. And for that, I am grateful. For a simpleton like me, it was made easy and understandable. Because of that, I could retire early. Again, grateful for that. The majority of my stack was through Swan. Granted, when Prime Trust went belly up, I walked away. But for me, in current day, I truly don't care what is going on with all this shit. It's entertainment, or entertaining, but that's as far as I can go with it. For me, not to badmouth somebody, will tell you all you need to know. So as is very unusual for me, I will stand on the sidelines and just move the chains and goalpost. Yeah, you know, I can appreciate that, Bubba. And I want you to understand the reason why I was shitting on Corey this week is because he was crashing out on like 5 of my posts. He was all over me. He lost his mind. It was like I was talking to Bitcoin Keith Oberman. And it's the only reason why I brought him up. I don't really care all that much about Corey. Like in many circumstances, I've been, you know, one of the biggest defenders of Corey and trying to encourage people to stop slinging anti-Swanetism at him, because his, yet as far as I've seen, to like the situation with the clawbacks or attempted clawbacks and the doxing of customers via lawsuits by Prime Trust is pretty lame, but I don't think he's lost any customers' funds yet. So I think that, you know, one of the learning lessons for people is anything, any personal information they put on the internet is up for grabs, regardless of whether you put it onto a Swan or your Comcast or, you know, whoever you're using, you're fucked regardless. So I don't think we can hold that much against Corey in that regard. But
well, understandably, Bubba is a veteran of Swan Force, and you don't want to talk. They want to, like, you know, diss your service. Nobody wants to diss your service, but you know, part of it is that people just need to admit it. Swan, it was this way for a lot of people. They brought a lot of people into the space, and it was a good time. It was cool to be a Swan fluencer. It was cool to be in the Swan Force. Like it was an active positive force for people getting into Bitcoin. Right, it was a great entry point, and then Corey, Dean Corey, and just some decisions, they got cringe and it kind of embarrassed people. You know, people who didn't, you know, they didn't know who Harlem Magoo was. They didn't know who some of these guys were, Udi, when they first got in the space, and they were listening to podcasts, and then they found out later, and it just became, you know, they felt embarrassed for, you know, having the Swan ref link in their bio, telling their friends to go there, and they're you know, they're mad at Swan, they're mad at Corey. And, you know, so it's not, Corey has some responsibility here. He did embarrass his customers by being cringe, but, you know, it doesn't negate the, you know, it doesn't make you cringe if you came out. I mean, I came into Pomp, listening to the Pomp podcast, like, that's embarrassing, but you just got to get over it. You can't get mad at them. A lot of people came in through Coinbase and they hate Coinbase now.
Well, like, you know, In many ways, because of how little communication there is on, or education on, the way the world works, when you start engaging in these concepts and trying to hit things from first principles, you're kind of starting over as like a child. Like you're going back to grade school and relearning these very basic concepts. And so,
yeah, and Tomer Strohlide was a great kindergarten teacher. He is like the creator for people today, right? Like people are going to be really feel really cringe about going to Bitcoin University. It's going to become embarrassing to them. They're probably going to lash out at creator. But who knows? Like if that was the life raft, it was beneficial.
Yeah. In many ways, Swan was like the Sesame Street of Bitcoin education. But Corey's Elmo.
Corey's Big Bird. He even looks like Big Bird.
Does that make Brady Elmo? Brady and Alex Danzig, Elmo and Ernie?
I would say Brandon Quidham is Elmo.
So, and Brady's
Brecky's the cow, you know.
I'm mixing up the Muppets, I think. It's
Mel Bird and Ernie, they're Sesame Street.
Oh, okay.
Bert and Ernie was Nico and Opti.
Yeah, they were on the Swan Influencer train for a little bit.
Lawrence Lepard is the base Snuffleupagus guy.
I guess they fired. I guess Simply Bitcoin now is the Sesame Street of Bitcoin. They've kind of taken over the reins from Swan. At one point, they were adjoined. So fascinating. But yeah, I mean, you grow out of that. Like if you're a grown adult, like this is one of the strange phenomenons that we're seeing today, is there's a lot of grown adults that are obsessed with children shows. Absolutely obsessed.
Like Disney adults, middle-aged men who wear superhero t-shirts when they go to Lowe's or Home Depot.
Yeah. So if you're an adult and you really like Star Wars, or if you really like the Marvel universe, does that make you a Disney adult? Or is that more like a Disney adolescent?
It's a good question.
All right. Well, thanks for the boost, Bubba.
The next one is from our man, Shadrach, 323 sats, mile high boost again, 40 hours per week, cigarette emoji. Normally that's open mic, but Shadrach's been doing it, hitting mile high boost too.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, you get on a Boeing 737 MAX. Those don't have the best track record recently. Things are kind of wonky with the FAA. Pilots can't smoke cigarettes. Might get a woman pilot. What do you do if you get like a Asian woman pilot?
Better hope that whatever happens is a math problem to solve. Not a driving maneuver problem.
Yeah, we have to admit that, you know, flying isn't that dangerous, but it, you know, it feels a little bit more dangerous with the way that it's been covered in the media recently. But, you know, it is kind of cool to think about if the last thing that you do in an emergency situation when the plane crashes is listen to the Bugle Weekly. Like, I think it's a pretty good activity to do when you're up in the air.
Every time you listen, just put your headphones on and say, let's roll.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, that wraps up the boost for the week. I'm going to put out a paid subscriber content thing about the shitcoins, my thoughts on the shitcoins. So look out for that coming out here in the next few days, folks. You got any closing thoughts for this rip?
Yeah, the latest episode or latest issue of Stack Chain Magazine, the IPO issue, just came out today, and on my story on Paper Bitcoin, the hardest money ever printed, is the feature story of Stack Chain's issue. Check that out. Buy an issue of subscribe to Stack Chain Magazine to see my article.
It was a good article. I got to read it before it was published. I have yet to open up a Stack Chain magazine and read it. I've had a couple articles published with them, but the ones that I have are still sealed.
Yeah, to see you. Luckily, my episode that's coming, or my issue that's coming, will stay sealed because I can read it and see pictures of it. But maybe I actually bought two because I'll have to open one so I can read the rest. There's some pretty good ones in there.
Yeah, I think if we ever do a magazine, what would make sense is to, you know, seal it, have them sealed, and then have a QR code slipped in on the front where people can scan it for a digital copy so they can read it. That might be
the best thing. You guys should reach out to Evan Kalupas at Seize Wallet. He's got like a creator's lightning platform where you can buy like the digital version of unlock the digital version of a book, like a Fundamentals Bitcoin is for Institutions or Stack Chain, and read it so you don't have to open it. And you know, Stack Chain magazine is like the Sistine Chapel, like you don't want to like ruin its pristineness by opening it and getting chocolate milk or Mountain Dew or cigarette ashes on the magazine.
Yeah, I think PodComp's working on PlebSlot magazine. I'm pretty interested to see what that looks like.
No, it's Slop Chain magazine.
Slop Chain magazine. Yeah, that'll be interesting. Alrighty, folks. Well, thank you for listening to this edition of the Bugle Weekly. Thank you to our subscribers. Appreciate you guys. We've got, of course, Fountain doesn't load when I need it to. What's going on here?
So I think it's the same subscribers that we had yesterday, in the episode yesterday.
Let me see if I can do it off the top of my head. I think we got like 12. So Fundamentals, Shadrach, Open Mike, Avi Burra, Sasha Hodder, Silas Thornbrook, Southside Dave,
Rob Hamilton.
I'm at 8. Let's see. Late Stage Hoddle. We got a new one. Enoch. We All Eat. Wow. Got another Doom Satoshi. Odie. Oh, wait, no. I got it wrong. I'm just reading off supporters, not subscribers. Sean. Turkey. BTC on board. I think I got them all. Thank you guys for subscribing, and we'll catch you on the next edition of the Beagle Weekly.
Yeah, is Bitcoin dead? Did somebody spam a block? Should we throw a funeral? Nah, fam, it's a pity party. Bring your slop buckets and your block explorers. OMG, there's JPEGs in my blockchain suit. Better call the V-Squad, rally up the troops. Some kid paid 30 sats to ride a frog in the chain. Now Twitter's crying doom like the sky's spilling rain. Max is losing sleep cause of meme coins vibing. No still sync though, so why y'all diving? Our fees are too high, it's the end, it's the end. Nah, bro, go touch grass or at least a girlfriend. You say it's dying, I say you're coping. Block still flowing, laser eyes still open. Bitcoin's broken, wow, such inside. Did you learn that from Reddit overnight fry? Welcome to the pleb slot pity party. Everyone's invited, even Matt and Marty. Chain still clean, world keeps spinning. No, stay winning, Bitcoin not quitting. Pleb slot pity party, cry into your bowl. Spam ain't the threat, your vibes took the toll. Remember when they said TikTok would kill us? Now they're mad, ordinals got gorillas. McDonald's is hiring, tweeted out in rage. Bro, Bitcoin's fine, you just stuck in a cage. Fees go up, cool, miners eating steak. Meanwhile, you starve on takes you can't fix. Spam attack, they stream from the basement. I'm filming this rap in a sponsor statement. So raise a glass of your salty tears to the fragile. Bitcoin doesn't care about your feelings, only your keys. Stay mad, stay broke, stay blocked.